love of the Prophet is the soul of Iman. The love of the Prophet is the soul of Iman. The love of the Prophet is the soul of Iman.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My name is Islamic Brothers and viewers of Madani Channel. Today, once again, we are here with Silsila Soul of Iman, with another beautiful topic, that is Mercy of Mustafa, Blessings of Rasulullah, Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wa Alihi Wa Sallam. And inshaAllah, today we will be talking about this beautiful topic and various angles of this topic, inshaAllah, regarding the Mercy of Mustafa, Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wa Alihi Wa Sallam. Before we proceed ahead towards the main topic, let's do few good intentions, because it is a saying of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. Intention of a believer is better than his actions. And remember, you are not rewarded until or unless you have got good intention before performing any permissible or a good deed. The Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, the foremost intention shall be the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And you can make an intention that you will listen this silsila to gain knowledge from start till end for the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, insha'Allah azza wa jal. And it is also a good idea to note down the important points, insha'Allah. It will help you to remember what you learn, and later on there will be your notes for revision too. And Islamic brothers, you can also make an intention that whatever you learn today, you will remember it, you will act upon, and you will pass this knowledge on to others too, insha'Allah azza wa jal. And there is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the one who sends one salawat upon me, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala showers 10 mercies upon that person, subhanallah. 10 blessings are showered, and today our topic is also rahmat. Insha'Allah azza wa jal, if you want to gain the rahmat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then send salawat upon Nabi Rahmat sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in abundance. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Let's include one kalam in our program.
Wohi Rabb hai jisne tujhko jisne tujhko hamatan karam banaya hame bheek maangne ko tera aasita bataya tujhe hamd hai khudaya tujhe hamd hai khudaya tujhe hamd hai حمد ہے خدایا وہی رب ہے جس نے تجھ کو تمہیں آنکھ میں بنایا تجھے حمد ہے خدایا حمد ہے خدایا، تجھے حمد ہے خدایا، وہی رب ہے جس نے تجھ کو اور وہ کنواری پاک مریم نشان اعظم ہے، عجب عجب نشان اعظم، مگر آمنہ کا جایا وہی سب سے افضل آیا، تجھے حمد ہے خدایا، تجھے حمد ہے خدایا، تجھے حمد ہے خدایا، وہی رب ہے جس نے تجھ کو اور یہی بولے سترا والے سبھی میں نے چھان ڈالے، سبھی میں نے چھان ڈالے، تیرے پائے کا نہ پایا، تجھے یک نے یک بنایا، تجھے یک نے یک بنایا، تجھے حمد ہے خدایا، تجھے حمد ہے خدایا، تجھے حمد ہے خدایا، وہی رب ہے جس نے تجھ کو فائدہ فراغتا فرسب بخشش آیا، کرو قسمت عطایا، کرو قسمت عطایا، تجھے حمد ہے خدایا، تجھے حمد ہے خدایا، تجھے حمد ہے خدایا، وہی رب ہے جس نے تجھ کو خدایا، تجھے حمد ہے خدایا، اب ہے جس نے تجھ کو ارے اے خدا کے
کلام اف رضا امام احمد رضا خان علی رحمت الرحمن امام احمد رضا خان علی رحمت الرحمن is praising Allah تبارک و تعالی, is doing the hamd of Allah تبارک و تعالی. My dear Islamic brothers, we are also sitting here doing the hamd of Allah تبارک و تعالی. We are here doing the shukr of Allah تبارک و تعالی that we are born in the ummah of Rasulullah صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وآلہ وسلم. We are fortunate enough that alhamdulillah we are born in the ummah which is the best of all ummahs, and alhamdulillah our prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is best of all the prophets and best of all the creations ever created in this world. And Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, inshallah we'll start the topic of today's discussion, that is rahmat of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. The rahmat of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is everywhere across the globe. And many Islamic brothers, when we talk about the rahmat of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the topic is Rahmat-e-Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And inshallah, first of all, we'll go and see what Quran talks about the Rahmat-e-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And inshallah, Azza wa Jal, there are various angles of this topic, that what about the mercy of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam on women? What is the mercy of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on children? What is the mercy of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on animals? What is the mercy of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam on the other creations? Inshallah, so we will take this topic along. Be with us until the end. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear Ammar bhai, beautiful topic today. Beautiful night, started with beautiful kalam, mashallah. Everybody has been energetic. So let's start to talk about the mercy of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, when we look at the mercy of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, it is something that as an ummati we should be really proud of, and it gives us real high hopes that inshallah even on the day of judgment the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will have mercy on us.
Inshallah, inshallah.
So this is something definitely that we should, today's topic in particular, we should all be listening to with that thought in mind. How beautiful, how great our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, what great status he has in the court of Allah azza wa jal. So this is something, alhamdulillah, the viewers of Madani Channel that are watching, also if they can call their friends, families, relatives, so that we can all watch this together, this silsila together, especially today's topic. It's a beautiful topic, and as you've mentioned, we'll be covering different aspects. So when we look at the glorious Quran, there are a few verses that straight away stand out. For example, in Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 107. Very famous, mashallah. And Allah Azza wa Jalla states, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Here now, especially when it comes to these words, رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. So, عالمين, the Mufassirin, they have, here they've debated, is he mercy only for those that believe in him? Is he only mercy for the believers or even those that do not believe in him?
As well, yes.
So for example, Imam Tabari and Tafsir Tabari and other Mufassireen, they've quoted that the most authentic and the preferred opinion, which is also quoted by Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his mercy is so vast that he is mercy for those that believe in him and those that do not believe in him.
Alhamdulillah, there is a separate topic which has been brought, mercy on non-believers.
Subhanallah.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, absolutely right. MashaAllah.
MashaAllah. So, for example, one of the examples that the Mufassirin have given, how, okay, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mercy for the believers because he has guided them and he has told them to believe in Allah azza wa jal. He has taught them the right sort of etiquettes and the manners of living life. But what about those that do not believe in him? So the Mufassirin, they say that Allah Azza wa Jal would punish the previous nations quickly if they disbelieved in the Prophet.
Allah.
Or even to the extent that their faces will be changed.
Yeah.
Their whole body will be changed. Their shape will be changed. But Allah Azza wa Jal does not do that to the people that even disbelieve in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're still protected from such punishment. So this is the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon those that do not believe in him. And as you've said, there are many narrations in the hadith Mubarakah where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing his mercy and his rahmah. And because he's such a soft-hearted person,
Allah,
his soft heart, mashallah, as the silsila goes on, we will hear. And so we should always be thinking, as ummatis, as the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should not do anything that ma'azallah causes pain to the soft heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Many Islamic brothers, we are talking about the mercy of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And today, the specifically, we are talking about the rahmat of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we've just started the topic, the mercy of Mustafa, the word rahmatan lil alamin from Quran, it has been mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has been sent as a rahmat for alamin, for alamin, and the word Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has used for himself, that is alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, right? So Allah is Rabb for all the alamin, and he has sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a rahmat for all the alamin. Wherever Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's rabubiyat exists, alhamdulillah, there the rahmat of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam exists. And this is the rahmat of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has kept the zikr of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, whenever he did his own zikr, the zikr of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam comes. Dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, the point which is just being mentioned, inshallah, we'll come back to this, that how on non-believers Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had mercy, inshallah, we'll come to that. But before, I would like to go to Wasim Bhai, if he would like to elaborate onto this point.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما شاء الله beautiful introduction regarding the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has been presented by Ammar bhai in the light of Quran Pak. When we look at the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, it is such that it is not only mercy in a way of mercy, but also believers and everyone benefits from it. And this benefit was not limited for only those who existed, physically existed in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. But this benefit is even being attained by the ummah even today. Those who have come after Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and all those who will come until the day of judgment, they all will benefit from the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Beautiful point was mentioned in the context of Surah Anbiya, verse number 107. Allah Azza wa Jal talks about the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam at another place in Holy Quran, in Surah Ali Imran, in verse number, ayah number 159. In translation from Kanzul Iman Sharif, so what a great mercy from Allah that you, Allah Azza wa Jal is referring to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that you are lenient towards them. Soft-heartedness is coming, also coming over here. So, what a great mercy from Allah that you, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, are lenient towards them. And if you had been stern and hard-heartened, unsympathetic towards them, they would have certainly been uneasy in your company. So, forgive them and intercede for them. We'll come to the commentary of this. And consult them in the conduct of affairs. Now in the tafsir, in the commentary of this blessed ayah, it is narrated in Khazainul Irfan that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that what a great mercy from Allah azza wa jal that you, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, are lenient towards them. They say, and that mercy, karam and compassion of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is to such an extent in his character that he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam did not even enrage in the Battle of Uhud, and when did such circumstances arose at that time that a normal person would obviously become furious. But even though in those circumstances, during those times, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam did not become furious, did not become enraged. So Allah azza wa jalla is talking about the mercy, the compassion, the karam of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in this ayah. And furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they would have certainly been uneasy in your company if Aqa alayhi salatu wasalam would not have been sympathetic towards them. Then they would have certainly been uneasy in your company. So forgive them and intercede for them.
Subhanallah.
Forgive them and intercede for them. Why? So Allah forgives them. This is in the commentary. So Allah forgives them. And the next point where we come to how we are even benefiting from the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam today, and how the coming generations, they will, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further says, and consult them in the conduct of affairs. Consult them in the conduct of affairs. Now, in the commentary of this, Mufti Sahib rahmatullahi ta'ala, he says, there is a heartening and motivation for Muslims over here. That Aqa alayhi salatu wasalam is being told to consult them in the conduct of their affairs. Moreover, consultation will become a sunnah, and the ummah will keep benefiting from this in future. Now, if you look at this point, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam didn't need to take consultation from anyone or do consultation from anyone. But in this ayah, Allah azza wa jal is telling beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam to consult with them, to consult with his companions in the conduct of their affairs. Why? So it becomes a sunnah for the ummah. As we are told that in consultation, in a mashwara, there's barakah, there's blessings in it. So today, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we are told whenever we want to do something, we should consult among each other. So there's blessing in this. And also when we add this intention that this is also sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, there's not only blessing in this fact, in this consultation among that we carry on among ourselves,
but there's also the reward affecting upon the sunnah. So this is also one of the aspects of the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, through which even we are benefiting today. This is a lesson for us, and this is something that we unfortunately a lot of the times we miss out on at home when we are about to take a big decision. And sometimes whoever in charge of the house takes a decision just by himself, and what ends up happening is the entire family is displeased. They're not so happy with the decision, so then there's disputes and arguments kicking off. So the best solution to that, alhamdulillah, the very easy and simple solution to that is to consult each other.
So the core reason for this dispute we come to know is because of abandoning the sunnah in a way. And as you mentioned that we normally ignore them in consulting for any affair, but Amarbhai, when we are, for example, running any business or we are having any kind of financial trade or something, and when we come to know that there can be any grave financial loss, or you know, I'm going to go in a contract with you, or I'm going to have a business terms with you, and when I want to make sure that whether you will be you'll be an honest person, an honest party for me, so I don't incur a major financial loss, then I will go to any extent to consult with every single person who knows you. You know, over here, I'm consulting with everyone, but over here, my intention is not to act upon the sunnah. Over here, my intention is to make sure I'm saved from the financial loss. So over here, obviously materialism, and this materialistic mindset is coming into us. Whereas if in our normal routine life, if we adopt this sunnah, if we consult with everyone with the intention of acting upon the sunnah, then not only everyone will be pleased around us, but inshallah azawajal, we will also be rewarded for acting upon the sunnah.
Very good. Many Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, we are talking about mercy of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Before we actually get into speaking about the different narrations that speak about the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have to also keep in mind that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was indeed merciful himself, like we've just seen in the light of the Holy Quran. But he also taught the same lesson of being merciful to his followers as well,
subhanallah,
to his ummatis as well. For example, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have stated, it is in Kitab al-Adab in al-Bukhari Sharif, it is narrated that مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمْ لَا يُرْحَمْ. Whoever does not have mercy, there will be no mercy upon him. And likewise, إِرْحَمُوا مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمُكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Have mercy upon those that are in the earth, and the one whose kingdomship is upon the skies, he will have mercy upon you.
Sure.
Likewise, there are many other narrations that encourage us to be merciful. When we look at the mercy of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one thing that comes, like mashallah, Wasim I mentioned earlier on, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was merciful, and this was something that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't have to force himself to show. He was, majority of the times, soft-heartedness and mercy, he was merciful, this was his nature. And this was in his nature. And this is when we look at good characters, good akhlaq, this is how the scholars define it, that they become a part of a person's nature. When we hear about mercy, when we hear about the blessings of smiling at another person, maybe we're going out, we're doing it for a day or two, and then after that, we stop again. Or if we hear about the blessings of giving sadaqat, we go and we give sadaqat. But just a one-off thing does not mean we become sakhina all of a sudden, we become very generous. So these are things that once they become instilled in us, once they become a part of our nature, that's when we can say, okay, now these are our akhlaq, these are our habits. Yeah,
sure.
So mercy was in the habit and in the nature of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
I would like to mention to the viewers of Madani Channel, we're talking about that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was not only merciful for mu'mineen, he was definitely ra'uf and raheem for mu'mineen, right? Mashallah, there's the ayah of the Quran onto this, that but what about, we were talking about the non-Muslims, non-believers, right? He is a symbol of peace for the world. He is a symbol of peace, alhamdulillah, for the alameen. He is rahmat for the alameen. Now, look at this narration. Once Sahaba Kiram Ali Muridwan, they requested in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do bad dua, make a bad dua for non-believers. right? When they requested, he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, I have not been sent to curse. I have been sent as a rahmat. I have been sent as a mercy. So this is what the rahmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And another narration, I'm just giving the reference Mishkat, and that is a reference from Sahih al-Muslim. And then the next reference I'm giving from Sahih Bukhari, right? Hazrat Tufail bin Amr Dawsi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him to Qabila Dawsi, right? In order to invite people towards Islam. When he went there, then they rejected the invitation towards Islam, right? He, radiallahu ta'ala, came back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Qabila Dawas, they have been destroyed because they have disobeyed and they have not obeyed. People thought that Aqa Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam is just about to make supplicate as a bad dua for that Qabila Dawas. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ya Allah azza wa jalla, give hidayat to Qabila Dawas and may they become Muslims when they come here. Subhanallah. So this is the mercy of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam even onto the non-believers. And there's a very famous waqia of Taif. I think you can elaborate on this.
That's coming to mind. I mean, I'll just mention the summary of this waqia. Really, this the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went to the city of Taif to invite them towards Islam. And these people, not only did they not accept his message, but they got their youngsters to follow him, ma'adallah, out of the city. And they were throwing stones and all sorts at him, Allah, to the extent that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now started to bleed,
Allah,
and his blessed sandals even became full of blood.
Allah.
Even in that state, the mountain
angel was sent.
The angel whose duty is upon the mountains, because Taif is a valley, it's in between two mountains.
Yes.
So the angel, he said that, Ya Rasulullah, if you say, I will close these mountains together and crush the inhabitants within.
Allah.
The people that are living in there, they will be destroyed.
They will be destroyed.
But the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not supplicate against them.
Allah.
In fact, at that point as well, he still supplicated for their guidance.
Yes. That there will be some generations in them, then they will come.
In their future generations. And as we're talking about,
it also shows the heights of the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because we come to know over here that Aqa alayhi salatu wasalam had the authority of doing whatever he wanted to upon any and everything in this world and in the hereafter. So the angel of mountain presenting himself in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in Taif, asking that if you say I'll join the two mountains together, this shows that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had the authority of doing that. But yet, look at the mercy, karam, compassion, whatever you want to call it,
sure,
of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that despite in this state, when those people are following him, when the blessed sandals are drenched with blessed blood, still Aqa alayhi salatu wasalam is doing dua for their guidance.
MashaAllah, beautiful point that Rasim Bhai is brought into discussion. If I am not capable of doing something, then if I am doing sabr, that is different. But if I am able to do something, I've got a power to do something, then I do sabr, that is something else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Here in this case, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given an authority. Angel was there. It's just a matter of few words to supplicate in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and they would have been destroyed. But subhanAllah, having the power within, right? But this is the mercy. The best example what you can give is the life of Rasulullah sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam. And as we're talking about people, for example, invitation towards Islam, it reminds me of a narration mentioned in Musnad Imam Ahmad, that when Makkah was conquered,
Allah Allah,
and Allah, the blessed city of Makkah al-Mukarramah has now been conquered, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he brought his father to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that he accepts Islam. But his father was quite elderly, so this is also his mercy upon the elderly as well. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that, هَلْ لَا تَرَكْتَ الشَّيْخَ فِي بَيْتِهِ حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَنَا آتِيهِ فِي, that why did you not leave him at home? I would have come to
Allah,
him.
Allah,
because he is so old.
Subhanallah.
This was the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon elderly, youngsters, men, women alike. This is, when we look at these narrations, likewise, it is narrated now for mercy for the people and in particularly parents. It is a beautiful narration of the mention in Abu Dawood Sharif that a person came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I came to you, I migrated towards you so that I pledge my allegiance, I give my hand in your hand. And what does he say after that? And I have left both of my parents at home crying. Allah. I came to give my hand in your hand and I left my parents crying. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Irji' ilayhima. Go return to them. فَأَضْحِكْهُمَا كَمَا أَبْكَيْتَهُمَا And go make them smile like you made them cry.
Allah.
This is the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This man has migrated. He's gone through dangers to reach the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finds out that his parents are crying, he has left his parents crying. What does his soft heart, what does he soft-heartedly and out of mercy and compassion, what does he command him to do? Go back and make them smile.
SubhanAllah. And the Islamic brothers and viewers of Madinah Channel, when Islam conquered the Makkah, the brother Amma, he just mentioned that I went into that situation when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered in the Makkah as a Fatih, as a conqueror. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, what moments would be when Sahaba Kiram were there, and that was the city from where Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was compelled to leave the city which he loved so much, and he was forced to leave that place, right? And there were so many obstacles that were created for Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in the initial days of Islam. But now look at the time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming back to Makkah, and this time Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is coming with the companions, Sahaba Ikram, complete force, complete power, complete authority. But subhanAllah, the history has not given any example like this example in complete history of this world even. The complete history has not given such an example, which is the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is entering to the Makkah and he is so down to earth in such an ijz. Allahu Akbar. But the Islamic brothers, the people, they were trembling at that time. They were feeling at that time, what would happen to us? We have done so much to this person and the companions. We have even compelled them to leave their beloved city, their wealth, their properties, their each and everything, their businesses from this city, and they did so many hardships on these Sahaba Ikram, and particularly Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the family of Rasulullah. Now, everybody was in fear, everybody was having a khawf. What decision is going to be made for us? Ammar bhai, what would you elaborate? What was the question at that time for mushrikeen, non-believers? And what was the answer of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
So, as you said, this situation now, and if it was any other ordinary person, this would have been his perfect chance to take revenge, to avenge, to make sure that these people go through at least the same pain, if not worse, the same pain that he had put us through. But when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asked, what are you planning on doing with us today? And he says that I am going to say to you what Sayyidina Yusuf ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam said to his brothers.
Allahu Akbar.
And I forgive you.
Allah.
This is easily said by us, heard by us, but if we imagine the situation and at that point think about any other ordinary person who would have taken this jumped at this
chance. Uncle has been martyred, Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Okay, and then the way he was martyred, you see, the people were there who had even, made shaheed to the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even they were the people, they had, done so many hardships and problems on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself and the family of Prophet. These people were standing in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this is the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
It is said in the books of Seerah that even those disbelievers who were standing in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time, even they knew that they deserved this. They knew that because of whatever they have done, there were such tyrant people among them who had pelted stones upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who had ma'adallah choked the blessed throat of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam with a shawl. There were such embodiment of oppressors who had ma'adallah struck the blessed princess, Hazrat Sayyidatuna Zainab radiyallahu ta'ala anha with a spear, causing her to fall down from the camel, which caused the miscarriage of her. We can't imagine to the extent of tyrannies they had inflicted upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba Karam alayhim wa ridwan. It is beyond our thought. Those embodiments of tyrannies who were standing in front of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, they knew that even if their flesh is cut into pieces and fed to dogs, still this is what they were expecting. And when Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam asked this question, what you just mentioned, that, you know, what do you think I should do with you along these lines? They trembled with fear, it is said, because they knew they deserve all this. It is not easy to imagine to the what extent the oppressions they had caused upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and upon Sahaba Akram alayhi wa ridwan. Some Sahaba Akram alayhi wa ridwan, they would make them lie on blistering hot sand, and their blessed skin, it would melt. The fat of the blessed skin, they would go on the coals, on the blistering blistering sand. So many Sahaba Karam alayhim wa ridwan, they martyred. Why? Just because they were giving the invitation of Islam. So the oppression they had caused, it was beyond our imagination. And Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam himself says that trials, tribulations that he has gone through, no other prophet has gone through them.
Sure.
So when we look into the context of all this incident, then whatever Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and the blessed companions alayhim wa ridwan, they had gone through, and those people standing over there, the kuffar, disbelievers of Quraysh standing over there, they also knew that they deserve all this. After all this, these sentences from the blessed tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that revenge, what revenge? I forgive you all. You know, when we read all this in this context, in the context of the history, it's unbelievable that no king in the history of the mankind we will find who would have displayed such kind of mercy, such kind of compassion, such kind of example.
And we also, from this one, another point that we can derive from this is the respect that the Sahaba Ikram alayhim wa ridwan had for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and for the decision of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam.
They were also people that were tortured.
Yes.
They had to see their family members being martyred right in front of them. But we do not find in the books of Ahadith that anybody objected that, Ya Rasulullah, we want to take revenge. When the Holy Prophet ﷺ announced forgiveness, nobody stood up and started to object against the decision of the Holy Prophet.
Beautiful point this is. How they obeyed Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, how they followed him. That at such severe times when that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that's the personality of Aqa alayhi salatu wasalam. But look at Sahaba Ikram alayhi wa ridwan, the way you mentioned, that they also had their families being martyred in front of their eyes.
And this is because of the teachings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that mercy that was in the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gave a small portion of that to his blessed companions alayhi wa ridwan as well. Because, for example, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we look at historically slaves in particular, slaves were now the sort of people that were considered totally low class, no rights at all. It's almost as though they were not human. They were not treated like humans. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Hadith Mubarakah, he says that your slaves are your brothers.
Subhanallah.
Taken from a slave to a brother's level.
Allahu Akbar.
So then from there onwards he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jalla has made them below you and they are under you.
Yes.
And whoever has a brother under him, then he should feed him from what he eats. And he should make him wear what he wears. And he should not burden him.
Subhanallah.
And if he does give him extra hard work, burdens in him in some way, then he should also help him.
Subhanallah.
These are slaves that we look at.
This concept didn't exist before.
Exactly. And when we look at, for example, the books of Ahadith like Bukhari, Sharif and other books, we see that the Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan, for example, Sayyidina Abu Dhar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would make his slaves wear the same overcoat that he would wear.
Subhanallah.
To the extent that Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, likewise it is narrated regarding Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he would sit in between his slaves, so one on the right, one on the left, he would sit in between, and they were wearing the same, they looked so similar that nobody would be able to differentiate who is the master and who is the slave.
Subhanallah. Not only this, Islam has, you see, encouraged to free the slaves,
And yes. Subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to the people that how much reward Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given. Wasim bhai.
Similarly, as mashallah Marvi mentioned from the Holy Quran earlier, regarding the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that various nations, the previous nations, they're disfigured, their faces disfigured because of their transgressions, because of the disobediences that they caused towards their Rasul. But look at the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allah says in Surah Anfal, verse number 7, from Kunzul Iman Sharif, and it is not for Allah to punish them whilst you, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, are among them.
Subhanallah.
Now, obviously during the time, well, every time is of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, but during the time when Aqa alayhi wa sallam was physically present in this world, along with other oppressions, one way of oppressions that the disbelievers they caused towards Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was, they used to, ma'adallah, make fun of Aqa alayhi wa sallam. And when Aqa alayhi wa sallam would tell them about the admonitions, about the punishments and wa'id of the punishment that of hellfire, etc., they used to say that make this punishment befall upon us quickly, early. And because obviously this was mentioned in the Holy Quran, so they used to quote this, that you know, this is being said in the Holy Quran, so make ma'adullah befall this upon us quickly. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over here again is telling that until the Rasul remains in the nation, the punishment does not befall upon them. And Mufti Sahib rahmatullahi ta'ala beautifully comments over here that those foolish people, they used to make this comment that in the Quran it says that the punishment will befall upon us, make it befall upon us quickly. So they are taking one aspect of the Quran, but the other aspect that until the Nabi is in between them, the punishment will not befall upon them. So they are leaving that aside. So that shows how foolish they are by saying these comments. So we also come to know that obviously the punishment upon the nation is not does not befall until the Nabi remains in the nation. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is such that even after the physical departure of Aqa alayhi salatu wasalam, we still are safe from the punishments of Allah Azza wa Jal. And at the meanwhile, we also learn another point over here, that as those disbelievers used to take one part of the Quran, leave the other, we shouldn't be doing this. If we are to understand the message of the Holy Quran, we should go to a scholar of correct beliefs and ask him for the understanding of the ayahs, that what does this ayah mean? Because in the contextual background of various ayahs, the message would probably be different from its literal meanings. So we shouldn't be trying to deduce and conclude meanings of Quranic ayahs from ourselves. We should go to the scholar of correct beliefs and ask him what the Quran means, because there might be any other verse of the Holy Quran because of which the ruling of a certain issue changes. So we should always go to the people of knowledge, to the correct ulama of Ahl Sunnah, and ask them the knowledge of any verse if you are uncertain about it.
Not every scholar is capable of doing tafsir from himself. What he can do though, he can quote different tafsir to you. But we should never be trying to do the tafsir of an ayah ourselves. And if somebody is doing tafsir, we should be looking at firstly, first thing is his beliefs, his aqaid, and secondly, his qualifications. If he's giving you tafsir from himself, is he qualified to do so? Very briefly, this example, if a very well-educated person, he's maybe got a master's in English literature, if he goes into the medical field and starts to pick up a book of the one that the doctors are studying now for medicine, the medical field, the book is in English, he's got a master's in English, but can he now say, yes, this theory, I don't agree with it, it's wrong, it's this and this. You can imagine yourself how much value his opinion would hold. Likewise, just knowing a bit of Arabic is not sufficient.
Definitely.
And there's a lot more, there are a lot of things that need to be kept in mind during tafsir. So this is why we should not be attempting to do the tafsir of the Quran by ourselves, nor should we be listening to tafsir from such people who have no knowledge of the real knowledge of the Quran, and they are just taking a verse out of context and causing a lot of problems. So we should definitely always refer back to the scholars, our Sunni scholars who are knowledgeable, and inshallah, we will...
Mashallah. Many Islamic brothers, and viewers of Madani Channel, we're talking about the mercy of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. And Aka Kareem alayhi salatu wa salam's mercy is not just restricted to the mu'mineen. It's not just restricted to the non-believers. But subhanAllah, even the animals, they were not deprived from the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Time does not permit. There are so many various aspects of the mercy of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Even Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was so much merciful. Today, in this day and age, we talk about the rights of animals. We talk about different rights, different organizations. But dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, 1400 years ago, more than 1400 years ago, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam gave us the law to live, gave us, subhanAllah, the teachings of beautiful Islamic teachings. And mercy of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed the rights of the animals. Aqa Kareem alayhi salatu wa sallam passed by an animal. He was not fed very well. Allahu Akbar, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed the owner of that animal that you should feed him properly because you take work out of him. The Islamic brothers, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that there was one lady, she went into Jahannam, into hell, just because she had made the cat captive and she did not leave her out. She did not feed her, so she did not even leave her. The cat, she would go out and she would eat insects or something, she would live. But she did not do that. Just because of this sin, she went into Jahannam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us that what is, how we should behave towards the animals, how shall we behave towards the people, how shall we behave towards the normal people, and how shall our behavior shall be towards our mu'mineen. And dear Islamic brothers, this is the mercy of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let alone, where shall we go? Aqa Kareem has given us the word, assalamu alaykum. What a beautiful word it is itself. And dear Islamic brothers, this word itself is mercy. This word itself is subhanallah, rahmat of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Aqa Kareem has insisted us that we should make it common. We should say salam to each other. What is salam? We get up in the morning, we say assalamu alaykum. Peace upon you. Isn't it? That's what it means. Peace be upon you. Assalamu alaikum. But this is what we start our day. And whenever we meet our Muslims, my dear Islamic brothers, we are showing the sadaqah of mercy Rasulullah has given us in the shape of even our greetings of Islam. How beautiful religion it is. What a beautiful peace it is giving the message. Islam itself is a word of peace. And this is what we are talking about. Mercy of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
You were mentioning about the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon animals as well. Nowadays, we see our own Muslim brothers suffering, and we don't feel any kind of mercy towards them. We don't feel any kind of, you know, we have no sympathy in our hearts. In fact, sometimes, ma'adallah, the state of our grudge and malice goes to such an extent that we become happy upon seeing our Muslim brother in a state of worry or trouble or problem. But look at mercy of Aqa alayhi salatu wasalam even is pouring upon the animals.
So this is something the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also commanded, that firstly feed your animals well and do not overload them, do not overburden them. And this is another thing in the countries where animals are used. This is another problem that we see a lot of the times. And this is something that we need to be acting upon. The teachings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See, on the other hand, this is we've looked at the punishments. On the other hand, another narration mentioned in Bukhari Sharif that a lady, an indecent woman of Bani Israel, she saw a dog who was thirsty, whose tongue was sticking out due to thirst, just because she took her shoe off and took water out with that and gave the dog some water. Because of that, she was forgiven. So the mercy upon the animals. The reward for mercy, on the other hand, like you mentioned, the narration about a lady going to hell just because she did not feed the cat properly. So there's a lot to be said here, but towards the end, I think also we need to look at, as I said at the beginning, as ummatis, how lucky we are.
SubhanAllah.
And Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she states that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would want to do a lot of things, but he did not to make it easy for his followers. Okay. Just to make it easy for his followers. And we see in any a lot of the ahadith, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Lawla an ashqa ala ummati," if it was not going to be difficult for my ummah, I would have done so and so. Like he says, "La amartuhum bis siwaki inda kulli wudu," I would have commanded them to do miswak at every time they did wudu. And another narration it says, every time they perform salah. There are a lot of things like this. A beautiful narration that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in one of the Sahih books, either Sahih Bukhari or Muslim Sharif, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He says that every prophet has a dua that is going to be accepted. And every other prophet has made that dua. But I have saved that dua for the Day of Judgment.
SubhanAllah.
For he has saved it for his ummah. And he is going to be asking for forgiveness and intercede for his ummah.
This mercy of Mustafa will be shown on the Day of Judgment.
And then there's that lengthy, very lengthy narration where people would go from Sayyidina Adam ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam, one prophet to the other, and then at the end they would come to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who would then go into sajda. And when he is commanded to raise his hand from there, raise his head above, up from sajda, what would he be saying? Ummati, Ya Rabbi, Ummati. So these are things that we need to really be thinking about. This is the love that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has for us. But what are we doing in return? What have we ever done out of love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in return? If I cannot even adorn the beautiful sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then how can I be claiming to be a true lover of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. The Islamic brothers and viewers of Padri Channel, we don't have that much time left. But one message I would like to give. There are some people, they use the name of Islam and they distort the name of Islam in different ways. But subhanAllah, today's discussion has proven that, how beautiful religion it is, how peaceful religion is it, what a beautiful message it does it give, and what a beautiful mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has explained us the different aspects of different various angles of the mercy and peace of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallam. Inshallah, at the end we'll include one kalam, and on that kalam inshallah the silsila and program will finish. But until tomorrow, inshallah, we'll come back with another beautiful topic. Keep watching Madani channel, and inshallah, keep listening this kalam, and then the silsila will finish. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Aankhon ka tara, naam-e Muhammad.
Aankhon ka tara, naam-e Muhammad. Dil ka ujala, naam-e Muhammad. Aankhon ka tara, naam-e Muhammad. Dil ka ujala, naam-e Muhammad. Poochega Mola, hai laya kya kya? Poochega Mola, hai laya kya kya? Main ye kahunga, naam-e Muhammad. Main ye kahunga, naam-e Muhammad. Daulat jo chaho, daulat jo chaho, dono jahan ki. Daulat jo chaho, dono jahan ki. Daulat jo chaho, dono jahan ki. Kar lo wazifa, naam-e Muhammad. Kar lo wazifa, naam-e Muhammad. Muhammad, apne jameele rasvi ke dil mein, apne jameele rasvi ke dil mein, apne jameele rasvi ke dil mein, apne jameele rasvi ke dil mein. Aaja sama ja, naam-e Muhammad. Aaja sama ja, naam-e Muhammad. Aankhon ka tara, naam-e Muhammad. Dil ka ujala, naam-e Muhammad. Dil ka ujala,
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Keep watching Madani channel, inshallah. Tomorrow we'll be back with another beautiful topic. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
The love of the Prophet is the soul of Iman. The love of the Prophet is the soul of Iman. The love of the Prophet.